madhouse.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is my daddy on the Saturday flight from the Tower of Power, the very top story in my wavy gravy groovy gravy rocket laboratory, where we're bending every effort and making every test to be sure that our records are always the best. You see, well, before we play them on this crazy wavy air, we dip them in this smoking vat with extra special care. Wearing thick big rubber gloves and using special tongs, we make the Mad Dad acid test on the up-and-coming songs.
Sorry, I was just in a little mood for Mad Daddy there after having a little chat on the Big Chuck page with some folks as they were reminiscing about the history of horror hosts in Cleveland.
Ah!
And he was our very firstest one, actually. Briefly.
Yep. Definitely before our time, even, Dale.
Yeah, yeah. He precedes us. But we have got it's jam, it's crowded in here, and I love it. I'm Neil Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Somebody turn on the air conditioning. It's getting a little hot in here. Dave Bigley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
Oh, yes, this is me, CW, just drifting along, trying to keep them on the straight and narrow, doing my bit.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
And who else is here?
Chicken Man! He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Gotta go. As we join together here on this auspicious occasion for Eerie House Radio, and tonight we got a good one for you from CBS Radio Mystery Theater as we finish up our weekend of Voices. And a story called Voices of Death.
Yeah, this is the Voices of Death. I should have put the on there because there are two different stories from the Mystery Theater. One is Voices of Death, and the other is, I think, Voice of Death. The other one is The Voices of Death. An interesting thing about this one, The Voices of Death is starring the voice of God, is what many people called the amazing...
Morgan Freeman?
No, Norman Rose. He was the voice of God before Morgan Freeman. But Norman Rose, he was the voice of many of his friends from the 50s referred to his amazing tones as the voice of God.
Indeed. Want to welcome GGSI Paper. Hey, thanks for the email, guys. And good old Bob and Fogsbane for listening live. There's almost as many listeners as we have hosts.
Absolutely. We are overwhelmed. Underwhelmed or overwhelmed?
I say it's better than being underwhelmed, yes. Yes.
No, George Burns? No?
No, that's a different voice of God.
Oh,
too many voices of God.
I tell you. It's the Lord, Noah.
No, I don't
Boobah.
Think it's Cosby. I don't
Boobah,
think God is
Boobah,
Cosby.
Boobah. Yep.
I just recently revisited those. Those are hilarious. It's the Lord.
Yeah. Am I on candid camera?
The Almighty wants to.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Such classic routines.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Before they invented cameras.
Yeah.
Oh, those are some great bits.
Good comedy album stuff, but we got a great show for you tonight. Dave, who's acting in tonight's episode?
Well, besides the voice of God, we have Mary Higby, Earl Hammond, Ian Martin. Another story, a tale to was brought to us by Sam Dan. And he wrote more mystery theaters, CBS Radio Mystery Theaters, than any other person. And of all the stories he wrote, he, like, wrote one book, and that was it. But, boy, this guy, he had to burn himself off writing. Let me see. Just out of curiosity, how many stories that Sam Dan wrote as I get an ad in between everything now. Oh, I didn't want that. Fine. Be that way. Get back here. Okay, back to Sam Dan Writer.
I would imagine several hundred, no?
Yeah, I would imagine 438 episodes.
Whoa.
Wow.
And these are, you know, these are hour and a half, what, long shows, no?
No, well, yeah, forty-five minute shows, approximately.
Yeah.
Now, I lost the office poll. I was going to say 12.
Yeah. The office pool.
Yeah, yeah.
The office pool is more of a swamp.
Well, since the office pool, you know, isn't very deep, you're safe from drowning anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the office pool, we have a little kiddie wading pool, and that's the office pool.
Yeah, and there's live things in it. Squirming about.
I told you to change the water.
I like the live squirmy things.
That's how I went by there. There was a duck that gave me like a really bad look. So I'm not going by the office pool no more.
That gave you stink eye, huh?
when the office pool starts growling at you, it's time to stay away from the office.
Yeah, that's true.
Tentacles come out and stuff. It's nasty business. The things we do here around Erie House, huh?
Exactly.
By gosh, we even play some radio shows. Hey, we got one for you tonight.
This is a very interesting tale. This is one of those ones that I did have on cassette and listened to lots and lots of times. And it was worthy of listening to lots and lots of times. So that's all I can... That's all I'll say about that. I don't want to give away anything. It's just an interesting story. Starts off pretty quick and goes in a completely different direction.
Well, let's kick it off with part one. Do we have a broadcast date?
I imagine it would be...
76.
No. May 9th of 1975.
It's the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater next at 7 minutes.
CBS Radio
10.
Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The Bible speaks of a voice that cries out in the wilderness. And yet, there is an even vaster wilderness than the trackless, arid desert that is spoken of in the book. This is a wilderness so terrifying that it stretches out even beyond infinity. It is a wilderness of boundless, limitless space. But desolate though it may be, this is not a quiet wilderness, nor is it empty. It hums and buzzes and crackles with noise and sound, and even voices. Yes, there are voices that cry out in this wilderness, too. Voices that are not human, but voices that weep and laugh and threaten.
Where are those production schedules, Burke?
Production schedules?
Yes, production schedules. Your chief engineer.
I didn't make them up. I didn't think it was necessary.
What are you talking about?
We'll be out of business.
Out of business? How could we go out of business? We get more orders than we can handle.
That doesn't matter. We'll be out of business anyhow.
Why, Burke? Just tell me why.
Because the world is about to come to an end.
Oh. Where did you hear this?
On the radio.
The radio? I didn't hear it.
I know that. It's something that you can only hear on my radio.
Our mystery drama, The Voices of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
My mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and mommy and daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference. If you ever took one of those ordinary round one-quart ice cream containers, a handful of paper fasteners, a couple of paper clips, some number 36 enameled copper wire, a small piece of silicone or galena, and a pin or two, and transformed it all into a radio set, well, you're not as young as you used to be. Unbelievably, it worked. You could hear the Paul Whiteman Orchestra and Will Rogers and President Coolidge. How unbelievably primitive your crystal set would seem now. But is it possible that your cat's whisker might still receive a message that simply is not getting through the marvelously sophisticated equipment we have today?
Yes, Miss Hastings?
Yes. Cartwright of National Industries. He wants to congratulate you.
Tell him that I'm in a meeting.
And you've got four other calls on hold.
Well, tell them all I've gone to Outer Mongolia for the afternoon.
Oh, yes, Mr. Fowler. What should I say if they ask me why?
Oh, tell them I had to buy some yak butter. And, oh, yes, Miss Hastings, could you come in? Oh, wow. Now, Miss Hastings, would you mind retyping this letter? It's not very long. I've marked the words that aren't spelled right.
Oh, Mr. Fowler, it's not that I spell them wrong. It's just that I leave out the E in all words that have an I and an E. I write receive and believe. I don't know why I do that.
Well, maybe we better send you to a psychiatrist.
Oh, I'd be afraid to talk to one of those people. Mr. Fowler... Now that you'll become president of the company, will you need me anymore?
Miss Hastings, what kind of question is that?
Well, I thought you'd want a new secretary, somebody who looks like she might be a secretary to the president.
Miss Hastings, for 24 years we've been a team. When I get promoted, you get promoted. Now, what's it doing outside?
Well, Mr. Davis would like to see you.
Oh, Arthur, send him in.
Yes, sir.
And remember, Miss Hastings, I before E. Except after C.
Hi, Bert. Busy?
Now, what is this, Arthur? You feel you have to be announced now? I don't become president until tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes, and even then, I'll probably still be the same sweet, lovable Bert Fowler. Now, what's your problem, Arthur?
Problem? Who says I have a problem?
Well, you look like a man with a problem.
Do I? Well, how are things, Bert?
Now that you've deftly changed the subject, I may add I'm being swamped with requests for my bio. Well, two of them, anyhow.
Why not? You're a famous man.
I will be after tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, I knew it would happen one day. I said it 25 years ago. Remember, Arthur? Do you remember 25 years ago?
Remember what?
Oh, you don't have a sentimental bone in your body.
Oh, how can you say that? I'm paying alimony to two wives.
We both came here the same week, didn't we? Two raw youngsters just out of college, and we did pretty well.
Bert.
Yes, Arthur, what is it?
Well, I guess there's only one way to say this. You're not going to be made president of this company.
What? But... I'm not?
The board of directors met last week. The decision was made to name... Ron Anderson.
Ron Anderson? Oh, you can't be serious.
Now, the board wanted me to break the news to cushion the shock.
Oh, I see.
Because we're old friends.
Oh, it's quite perceptive and sensitive.
And everybody agrees that you're entitled to greater recognition and that... Well, a special title will be created for you.
But it won't be the title I deserve, president.
And more money, a lot more money, stock options, bonuses.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Arthur. Excuse me.
Yes, Mr. Fowler?
Take a letter, please. My personal stationery. Today's date. To the chairman of the board. Dear Frank, please accept my resignation, effective immediately. I'll sign it the moment you've finished.
But you can't do it.
I've just done it.
And now listen to me. Please don't. Just please.
Mr. Fowler, did I just hear you say that...
No, now, Miss Hastings, now please go back to your desk.
I want that typed immediately.
Don't you type one word. Now everything's going to be just fine. You just go out to your desk, Miss Hastings. Now, Bert...
The board of directors. There was no board of directors 25 years ago. How high and mighty we've become. We now have a board of directors.
Just calm down.
I walked into this company 25 years ago, and it was going down for the third time. This pathetic little 2x4 fly-by-night.
Bert, you have to realize...
Whose ideas turned this company around?
Yours.
Whose designs made the difference?
Yours. Nobody denies that, Bert, but times have changed, and you don't have the right image for the president of the company.
Oh, really? Let's talk about images, shall we? Who worked out the circuit that enables this company to create the world's best image on a screen?
It's a new ball game.
Well, if it is, you can play it.
You represent the past. Bert, you're too old.
What? At 53, I'm too old?
No, it's the way you dress and the way you cut your hair and... The way you impress people, you're just... Well, I guess the only way I can put it is that you're just too World War II-ish. Whereas Ronnie Anderson
is an idiot.
No, he's not really an idiot. It's just that he talks their language.
Whose language?
The language of the people who pull the buying strings today. It's the accent on youth. And he sports that long hair, and he wears clothes that are called mod or whatever. And he's just that... Fresh, bright, vibrant image the board thinks that this company needs.
But he doesn't know one end of a receiver from the other.
He doesn't have to, Bert. The engineers don't run companies anymore. You know that. It's all in the hands of the marketing people.
If you'll excuse me, Arthur, I'd like to clear my desk and go home.
Where are you going?
You heard me. I said I'm going home.
Are you? Tell me, Bert. Where's home? Where's home? It's here. And what's home? This company. It has been your wife, your kids. What else do you have?
Will you excuse me, Arthur?
You gave everything to this company. The company is all you have to show for your life. You can't leave it.
But company's leaving me, Arthur.
Ronnie Anderson is a temporary madness that's come over the company.
Oh, Ronnie Anderson. Who says God has no sense of humor? You want to go to lunch?
Well, Ronnie Anderson's invited everybody to be his guest in the penthouse.
I have a previous engagement. Look, why don't you go and score some points?
That was a low blow. I'll see you later, Bert.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
Now, Miss Hastings, call the garage. I want my car...
One moment, please.
you for lunch, Mr. Fowler.
Mm. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Oh, I can't remember ever doing anything like this before.
Anything like what, Miss Hastings?
Oh, driving out in the country during the middle of a working day. Oh, the woods are so beautiful.
Yes. Now, you've been my secretary for so many years, Miss Hastings, and well, I know so little about you. For example, well, why have you never married?
Well, because no one ever asked me.
You never married because no one ever asked you. And I never married because I never asked anyone. Why are all those cars parked along the side of the road?
Oh, well, according to those signs, it's a garage sale.
Oh, what's a garage sale?
Oh, people want to get rid of a lot of old things around the house, so they just hold a sale.
Huh. What a coincidence. I'm an old thing that was gotten rid of today myself. You know, I feel an affinity for this place. Let's stop and browse about. Oh, I've never seen so much junk.
Oh, usually you see some old books and pictures.
You see that stuff over there, Miss Hastings? It's typical of what you'd see in a home about, oh, 50 years ago. Look, there's an old broken-down wind-up phonograph, a clothes dummy, a coffee grinder, and...
Mr. Fowler? Mr. Fowler, are you all right?
No. Oh, no, it can't be.
Mr. Fowler, you're so pale.
But it's mine.
Mr. Fowler, something's wrong.
Miss Hastings, you see that thing on the table? It looks like a round container with some wire wrapped around it.
Oh, yes.
See what price is marked on it. Hmm?
Oh, there isn't any.
Oh, the woman at the gate. Ask her how much she wants.
Oh, Mr. Fowler, you're shaking. Are you ill?
No, no. Find out how much she wants. I have to have it.
A dollar.
A dollar? Well, I'd have given her $1,000.
Well, now it's yours.
But it was always mine.
Mr. Fowler, are you saying you once owned this... whatever it is. And now, by I don't know what kind of coincidence, you just came across it again?
What do you think this is, Miss Hastings?
I couldn't tell you.
It's a radio.
A radio? Mm-hmm. Well, it looks more like a carton for ice cream or sauerkraut.
This was my first design. My very first design.
You designed this, Mr. Fowler?
My first design. My first prize. There was a magazine called American Youth, and it offered a prize for the best and most simple design for a crystal set. And, well, I submitted this one, and I won. I was 10 years old, and I won. The magazine printed the diagram for this, and youngsters all over the country copied their own sets from it. Just think about it. More than 40 years ago, a kid who lived in this house made this radio from my design. Oh, I still remember the prize. Oh, a gold medal. And on it was inscribed, "To Bertram Fowler, a great scientist of the future."
And it came true. You are a great scientist.
Uh-huh. No. No, I never became a scientist. I just tinkered around with gadgets.
Do you mean a thing like this could actually work?
Oh, sure. Put on the earphones.
But now, wouldn't it need a new battery?
No, no battery, no electricity. It works by itself.
Oh.
You see, it's just a coil of wire, a crystal detector, which is made of silicon or galena. And let's see, we need an aerial. Oh, we can use the metal clothesline the lady has stretched in her yard. Oh, this will be fine. Now, listen through those earphones. Right. Now, what do you hear? Anything?
Oh, yeah, I do hear a kind of scratchy noise. Wait. Music. Yeah, I think I hear music.
Clearly.
Well, listen for yourself.
Oh, yes. May I have those earphones? Why, that's...
That's the music of Paul Whiteman, King of Jazz. Hotel in New York City.
Paul Whiteman. But it's not possible.
And now for the news. President Kulig said today that he will call for a three-power naval conference in Geneva, Switzerland, to be attended by the
Mr. Fowler, what's wrong? Oh, is somebody? Somebody help me. We need a doctor. Please. Oh, Mr. Fowler, don't faint.
Anyone would have a right to pass out if he tunes in the news and he gets the bad news of 1927. But why is he picking up that kind of news and that kind of music now? What kind of radio set did our friend Bert Fowler design anyhow? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, I've been telling you that Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is a wonderful way to make an ordinary meal a great meal and to keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because it's a delicious combination of Uncle Ben's rice, natural wild rice, herbs, and seasonings. It has a really distinctive taste just about every grown-up loves. But what about those everyday family meals? Well, now Uncle Ben's has a way to make them special, too. With Uncle Ben's new fast cooking long grain and wild rice, it's flavored with a delicious but milder blend of herbs and seasonings. So it has a milder taste. It cooks in just 5 minutes. So it's easy to serve anytime with anything, chicken, hamburgers, whatever's on the family menu. So try Uncle Ben's new 5-minute fast cooking long grain and wild rice. The whole family will love its milder taste.
That's right, and speaking of shameless ads, I want to welcome Shubba, Shubba Hubba, whatever, BLK XP Enhanced. Welcome to the show. Hope you're enjoying it as we are experiencing the voices of death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
As a matter of fact, that was a dead product there since there's no longer Uncle Ben's rice.
Yes, there is, actually.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just changing the packaging.
Yes, the
packaging. Okay, because the Aunt Jemima's isn't Aunt Jemima's anymore. It's Old Mill syrup and pancake mix now. So I figured that Uncle Ben would be gone as well.
No, they're taking their sweet time getting around to what they should have done ages ago, but I digress.
That's why we need you to hear to keep us on the straight and narrow, CW.
That's right. That's right.
Pulling the leash. I've got the water bottle.
Oh, there goes the company pool again.
That's what
I think the company pool. Quack, quack. Clean the water, quack, quack.
Skim the water.
Skim water, yeah. Why not?
Why would you skim the water? There's plenty of, why would you skim the water? There's plenty of skim in there already.
I don't know. But a great show tonight.
Oh, and it's just the beginning.
That's right. Two more magical parts to this program. And who knows, maybe we'll have time for a little fun at the end, too. Plus, we're going to get you all ready for Halloween season, man. We're going to be on 5 nights in a row on Halloween week with 5 great nights of programming. You'll never know who's hosting. Could be me, could be Dave, could be all of us, all 4 of us. You just never know.
One never knows.
One never knows.
It's October 26th through the 30th, right here on Dairy House Radio.
Marvelous way to spend All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Month.
Yep.
September should really be part of Halloween. I'm sorry. We just need another month for this.
It's the gateway to Halloween. How's that?
Gateway drug.
I don't know about you folks, but I've been seeing Christmas since July. So,
yeah. When did they skip over Thanksgiving and Halloween to get to Christmas?
Oh, I know.
Wait, there'll be no skipping of the Halloween. Oh, no, there will be no skipping of Halloween.
Oh, no, I agree. I feel like they should do this, that retailers should follow their promotions as it was an advent calendar. there's only so many days you can put on an advent calendar. So for back to school, you get an advent calendar's worth of promotion. So what, 4 weeks? And same with, you know, the rest of them. But this thing of grabbing them all and putting them to a ball and starting in July and August, it's wrong. It's just wrong.
It is Satan.
If you didn't have Christmas in July, you couldn't have the Hallmark Channel. What are you talking about?
There's that.
That's true.
I wouldn't mind having Halloween in July. That'll be great.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind.
Halloween goes in time.
Yeah, I like having a cold Halloween. I like the temperature to be a little bit brisk. It just adds to the experience.
You don't have a choice
down here
in Ohio.
That's right. It can't be July and be brisk in July in Ohio. It can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But in October, yeah, you don't have a choice. It's going to be brisk.
Yeah.
It might even be warm in the day, but by the time the sun goes down, this time of year, it always gets chilly.
Well, yeah. We even have a cold front here in Florida coming down, and we're right about the right time.
Oh,
yeah, we're,
what are you
going to
go down into
number.
The 60s? Ooh.
Ooh.
Actually, down to, it might hit the 50s here.
Have to actually put some socks on your sandals.
Yeah,
we're going to put socks over your sandals.
In the 50s. Gas.
I realize it doesn't sound like much, but it has gotten down into the 30s here. We didn't get snow, but we get 30. But afternoon.
We can get 3-4 months continuous of the 30s and below, and sometimes significantly below.
Oh, I know. You guys are crazy.
Yeah, that's right. But instead of whining about the weather, we're going to get back to the voices of death. I'm sorry I was carrying on about it, but it does get a little briskier.
Yes.
North.
That and Lipton tea.
Lipton tea.
Yes.
We need Raymond for the Lipton tea.
We do.
That's right.
Yeah. It was all a bad dream.
It could have been a
Yes, it was all a bad dream.
There you go. And our bad dream of Voices of Death will continue with part two from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Hey, when's the last time you made a wish?
I wish I could get an A in geometry.
I wish for a place to live.
I wish I was in Omaha with my grandmother and grandfather.
Wishing is very important, you know.
I think I wish for all the children in the world to be well and healthy and have enough to eat.
I wish I could lose 100 pounds.
I wish I had a bike.
My wish is for good health.
Wishing means you hope for better things.
I wish we could find solutions to the crime problem.
I wish that we win every soccer game in our league.
I wish, and I really wish, the price of food would go down.
If you want hope, you've got to make a wish.
If I have one wish, it's to understand my children.
I wish that everything works out between my boyfriend and me.
I just wish for a job.
I wish all the lost children would come home to their fathers.
Because without a wish, there can be no hope.
Yeah, I wish there were more love and truth and less loneliness in the world.
From the Franciscans, with love.
I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to earth, I know not where, said Mr. Longfellow. But the fact of the matter is, the arrow did fall, finally, to the earth. There is evidently, then, a significant difference between arrows and words. When you shoot or utter or discharge, however you want to put it, a word into the air, apparently it never falls to earth again. It enters the ether and stays there forever. Or does it? How else may we account for the fact that Bert Fowler is now hearing words that entered the airwaves more than 45 years ago?
You say that you heard an actual Paul Whiteman broadcast.
And I heard a news broadcast, which could only have been made in 1927.
Why?
Because it was about the conference to restrict the number of battleships.
Mm-hmm.
It was called by President Coolidge. You've heard of him.
Yes. And you heard all this on that, outside that ice cream carton?
This ice cream carton is actually a variable inductance tuning coil, a crystal detector, and... look, Doctor,
huh?
I don't want to get into anything here. I know what I heard.
Well, when Miss Hastings brought you here to my office, she said that you'd had a very, a very shattering experience earlier in the day in your business affairs.
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, that was one shock to your system. And then you encountered this, this radio, which was made from a prize-winning design of yours. Now, you're only a child at the time, so that's a second shot.
All right, but what does all this have to do with what I heard?
Well, the present has suddenly become unbearable. And you're escaping back into a beautiful, promising past?
Now, what you're saying is that for one reason or another, I imagined all this. Hmm?
Well, yes, that's what it comes to, Mr. Fowler. Because I put on these earphones. I scratched that crystal with the cat's whisker. All I got was static.
Doctor, am I okay otherwise?
Oh, you check out first rate. Hey, listen. Let me know if you raise any more of that 20s jazz, huh?
What is it, Miss Hastings? Oh, let me take these earphones off.
You're due at a meeting in Mr. Anderson's office.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, Miss Hastings, I'm hearing the strangest voices on this old radio of mine.
What kind of voices?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, Mr. Fowler, I wish I could hear the voices you say you hear.
They're there. They're loud and clear.
We're no longer competitive.
There's not a company in the world that can match our quality, Rob.
Yeah, but we've got to cut costs.
We can't.
You mean you can't?
If you know someone who can produce this quality for less money, well, I'll step aside.
How about less quality?
There goes the reputation of this company.
Well, don't you worry about our reputation.
I have to. I created it.
Why didn't you resign, Bert? You know, I'd have resigned if they'd named you president.
That would be the easy way out.
Well, you'll simply have to find some shortcuts.
If you put us back with the rest of the pack, why should people buy our product?
That's my job, marketing. You turn it out, I sell it.
Just like that, huh?
You're not keeping up with the current market. Neither is your friend, Arthur Davis.
What about Arthur?
Well, I almost fired him today.
Why?
He has a lot to learn about publicity. That little thing of a jig of yours, that crystal set... Just because it won a prize almost 50 years ago, he thought it was worth sending word to the press.
For that, you'd fire him?
Here's that old magazine. It's dead and gone, and pictures of kids in short haircuts and knickers, and this crazy-looking carton with all those clips and fasteners. And you're our executive engineer.
Ron, you may have missed the point.
The image is old-fashioned. The direction is backwards. Nobody cares about yesterday, Bert.
Mr. Anderson's secretary just called. You're supposed to have a cost analysis ready for the meeting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if you don't give it to me to type, they won't have it.
That's very well put.
And I know you haven't even started it.
That's right.
Now, Mr. Fowler, don't you
Zetha
think that you're...
Zetha and Aletha. Zetha is a man's voice. It sounds like a man's voice. And Aletha, it must be a woman's voice, but who are they? Who are they?
Mr. Fowler, should I call back and tell Mr. Anderson's secretary the report will be ready?
Yes, you do that. Or else, well, tell her it won't be ready. Anyway, you feel.
But, Mr. Fowler...
And now, Miss Hastings, you must excuse me.
Are you going to listen to that thing again?
Shh.
No, Zetha, give them a chance.
How many chances? How many?
One more.
You say one more? something even more frightful.
The children of today, they are different.
There's so little space, so few planets that are green and cool and fertile.
Another chance.
Either you and I, we would use the space wisely.
What space? What space?
Young men and women, they will be different. Wait.
Wait for what?
Mr. Fowler, are you all right?
Why, what's the matter?
Oh, you've been shouting, wait. Wait for what?
Oh, have I?
Now, Mr. Fowler, ever since you came across that thing...
You look at it as if it's some sort of poisonous snake. It's really a very primitive device. And it gave so many children in less affluent times a wonderful creative outlet. Hey, wait. Wait for children. The creative children. Are they the ones Zifa and Aletha were talking
now,
about?
Now, Mr. Fowler, you have to go upstairs to that meeting. They have been phoning for you.
Oh, yes, the meeting. Meeting.
I don't see where there's a reduction in any of these costs, Bert.
That's right, Ron, you don't.
I thought we agreed that we would cut costs.
No, as a matter of fact, I think we have to increase them.
You know what you're saying.
Certainly.
I'm the president of this company. I set the policy.
I am not aware that the board has canceled its commitment to quality.
I see. So you want to take this to the board?
Absolutely. You're supposed to be the hotshot. But how much ability does it take to sell cheap junk? If you're any good, you should be able to sell quality.
I would like to remind you that the board has already chosen me over you.
Ah, then what are you worried about?
We need this planet.
We have no right to take it.
We will make better use of it.
But it is there. It is there.
They will destroy it.
No, the children. The children growing up today. Those children will save.
These are the children who will destroy it.
Give them a little more time.
How much?
A little more. Just a little more.
We have to stop. Do you hear, Miss Hastings? We have to stop.
Mr. Fowler, I don't understand you. What are you saying?
We have to stop.
Stop what?
Stop destroying the world.
Oh.
Miss Hastings, tell Arthur Davis I must see him in my office right away. Arthur, I want you to contact the science editors and writers of all the newspapers, magazines, and wire services.
What for, Bert?
What for? I'm going to hold a press conference, that's what's for.
Well, what? Have you cleared it with Ron?
No, I haven't cleared it with Ron, and I don't intend to clear it with Ron either. Now, you just get these guys to meet with me, say, Tuesday morning.
You'd have to tell me why. And I would have to check it out.
Arthur, I'm asking you to do this for me.
Please, Bert. Ron calls the shots, you know that.
Sure. Yes, sure. Okay, Arthur, I'm sorry that I asked.
Look, Bert, I am on your side, but you understand my position.
Oh, absolutely. And so why don't you leave before we both burst into tears?
Yes, sir?
Miss Hastings, call the scientific editors of all the newspapers, magazines, networks, wire services, and tell them I'm having a press conference on Tuesday morning at 10.
Oh, but that's Mr. Davis's job.
I know, but he needs some help.
Wait, Zita. I beg you, wait.
Every day. They do further damage, wreak greater havoc, sow sorrier destruction. It will be too late.
Give them just a little more time. More time.
Now, what I have just played back for you, ladies and gentlemen, is the tape recording of voices that were picked up on this old crystal detector. The message is clear. The world is in danger. It will be taken over by another race or kind or call it what you will, unless...
What is this?
No, wait. Please. Don't go. Listen. Listen to me. Please listen. There's almost no time left. We're running out of time.
Now, please, Mr. Fowler. You can't get so excited.
They don't believe me, Miss Hastings. They don't believe me.
Well, do you believe him? The air of the night is filled with voices, and not all of them are heard by everyone. It is said that some men hear the rhythm of a different drummer. What about the rest of us? If we do not hear that drummer, does that mean he doesn't exist? Right now, all we're sure of is this. You exist, and I exist. And I shall return in just a few moments with Act Three.
There are times when you feel like rolling, when the whole world's standing by, and you know just where you're going, and you know you're riding high. When the rest of the world is flying, you hit the road and you climb, 'cause you're a free spirit, one of a kind.
There's a lot of free spirit at your Buick dealers. If you're thinking about a new car, he has lots of bright, shiny, free-spirited Buicks for you to choose from. If you're thinking used car, your Buick dealer has a good selection of those, too. If you want a checkup for your present Buick or to get your car in shape for a trip, his service department has everything it takes. Free spirit at your Buick dealer. It's part of every deal.
When you shop at your friendly Tradewell store, there's never any mystery about the values you receive. Tradewell offers the best food, the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. So don't be mystified about shopping for food. Shop at your friendly Tradewell store and stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quality. Here are some outstanding values at your friendly Tradewell. Fresh young turkeys, grade AA, Acme brand. Never frozen. 59 cents a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Top Round Beef Roast. $1.48 a pound. Stokely Tomato Sauce, 8-ounce tin. 8 for $1. Fireside Saltines, 16-ounce package, 38 cents. Shop Tradewell for quality with economy. Tradewell is headquarters for
there
USDA Prime Beef.
Sorry. Something caught in my throat. Clearly something caught in my throat.
Excuse me, I have to go to the Trademore store, whatever that's called.
Yes.
I really enjoy the KIXI little ads there. They're fun to listen to.
It is. Yeah. You hear the regional stuff, too. And this one's what, out of Seattle?
Seattle.
That's why I was thinking they had an earthquake when it went to dead air.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that was in the transfer from New York to the stations because they're transferred twice. They were transferred twice during the day, once earlier, late in the morning, then once in like early afternoon, and that's when they could catch the CBS feed of the Mystery Theater.
But the DJ came on and said, "Sorry about that."
I would not have left that in there, but I wouldn't say, "One moment, please." I would not have left that in, except that I thought that was great.
One moment, please.
You know what? Just think of that, Dale. You know, just from what I know we experienced here in Northeast Ohio, watching these old movies, even like the Sunday afternoon movie and the Saturday afternoon movie, that kind of a thing, and something would happen where the tape would break or the film would break. And, you know, the technical difficulty sign would come up, you know?
Yes.
Now, we handle those things differently here. You might hear something like...
Yes, it was all about dreams.
Or,
Or, you know, put you on the mood to, hey, what's happening in Parma?
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Darn, now I got to call in again.
See, I didn't forget you there, CW. We got the polka music.
Oh,
hey, guys.
We
you
caught
know,
that
is,
Parma reference.
Yep.
Yep, I want that as a ringtone.
Oh, my God.
Erie House. This is Erie House program number 548. But this afternoon on the Service for the Blind, it was episode number 200 of the one-hour version of Erie House Radio. I just wanted everybody to know that.
Thank you for, by the way, Dave, for compressing these and editing them out for that format to fit in there so they can enjoy our madness as well.
Yes, yes. And the episode number 200, I had to put in the program from last Friday, Dick Tracy and B-Flat.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. That was a lot of fun.
I hope that audience enjoyed it as well. We love doing this and providing these radio shows.
Anyway, back to
GGSI
the show.
Paper.
I wanted to, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Real quick. GGSI
no, no,
paper.
Go ahead. I would. Yeah.
In the chat mentioned that, you know, yeah, this is a good one, and even the commercials are interesting. And that we do try, like, unlike last night, but we do try for damn good reasons. We try to get all the commercials in there because it gives you the feel and the spirit of whatever period the radio program comes from. And most of us listening, and certainly at least three of us in this room, grew up in that period and remember some of these commercials.
Yeah, and that you never know the scurrying of magic that was going on behind last night's programs. It makes it all the bit more exciting while we're doing it live. That's all.
Yeah, you can hear more about it in the archives section if you go back and listen to it in the archives.
Most of the CBS radio mystery theaters that are available do contain the 1970 commercials. Thankfully.
And some of them also include things like the rest of the story from Paul Harvey. They also include news, a lot of news of that day, which makes it interesting.
Yeah.
So it is the Mystery Theater recordings, because they were all recorded by fans of the show, are a time capsule of the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A darn good time to me, at least, in that period of history.
So cheers to pirating tape recordings, because people have their tape recorders on, and that's what keeps it going.
Yep.
Yeah, we would, because these were never officially released. That was the only way that we were able to do that. And I know even during the run of the Mystery Theater, we had some friends that would share some programs from time to time that we would have recorded.
Very much like the beginning of the cable and internet horror house. There was an organization called, well, I think they're still around, the Horror Host Underground. Bunch of guys discovered each other at trade shows and what have you. And this was before the internet. They would trade VHS copies of their shows amongst each other to see what each other was doing. You know what I mean? And trying to help each other spread the word of horror hosting in general. That was the idea initially.
Yep. And now when we go to conventions like that, we share DVDs instead of the good old VHSs.
Yep.
Absolutely. Now we just download things, stream them,
yep,
et
cetera. That's true.
In the blink of an eye.
Yep, and we're here to provide you all kinds of radio. We got more of it. Let's wrap up this last segment. It's a little lengthy. Thankfully, it's good stuff. So let's wrap up the Voices of Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
He
easygoing, amiable Bert Fowler is suddenly cast, or he seems to have cast himself, in the role of a prophet of doom. A role that is certainly alien to his nature, but one that he seems powerless to reject. Prophets of doom, historically, don't do very well. Indeed, most of them come to a rather unfortunate end. Is this the fate that awaits our Bert Fowler?
Gentlemen, this meeting was called originally to acquaint this board with some fundamental policy differences between Bert Fowler and me. But that is insignificant now. Anyone who has read the papers, who has seen or heard the news broadcasts, is aware of the fact that Bert Fowler has made this company a laughingstock. You had no right to call a press conference.
Gentlemen, please listen to me. We must put a stop to this.
Put a stop to what?
Put a stop to this exclusive pursuit of our own private interests.
And what does that mean, Bert?
We are in danger.
Of what?
Of running out of time to save ourselves.
From whom? Well, from whom?
It's here. You can hear it on this crystal detector.
Look, Bert, all of us have clamped on those earphones. All of us have humored
you. The voices are there. The voices are clear. And so I can only conclude that you do not wish to hear them.
Gentlemen, I recommend we relieve Bert of his duties as chief of engineering and design and retire him on his very generous pension.
Now, listen, we have to devote ourselves to peace, to the betterment
of... Bert, you're out of order. Now, why don't you just leave quiet?
Take your hands off of me.
Bert, for your own good, I'm only...
Take your hands off of me.
Bert,
I
want to...
Not so good, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, I don't know what came over me, Doctor.
A fine crusader for peace you turned out to be. You slugged the first guy who disagrees with you.
Yeah. Doctor, what am I doing here in this hospital?
Well, you're going to be observed.
What does that mean?
Well, this will give you a chance to cool off. I will write a high-sounding report filled with all kinds of technical statements that no layman could understand and no two doctors would agree on.
I do hear these voices.
Yes, of course.
Then you admit they exist.
I agree that you hear them.
Oh, Doctor, what am I going to do?
Face reality.
What I hear is real.
Well, there are many realities. The problem is, you have to get along with the one that's popular. Now, the voices you hear are your voices, Mr. Fowler. They remind you of a happier time.
No, I am not talking about the news and the music. I mean, Zetha and Aletha.
Ah, Aletha and Zetha. Yes, A to Z. See, that's how you see your life. It's completely fouled up. It's no wife, no kids, no real fame. You know, it's a brilliant potential that was never realized.
That's how you account for it.
Bert, I'm on your side. I think the whole thing is absolutely wild.
According to Aletha and Zetha, the young people of my generation should have turned things around. I guess we only made them worse. How about your generation, Doctor?
Well, we make a lot of noise, but we'll get older, too.
But, Doctor, if we do nothing, the world will come to an end.
You want to know what I think? I think the world came to an end a long time ago.
Welcome home, Mr. Fowler.
Thank you, Miss Hastings.
The company told me I should stay on as your secretary.
That's one of the bonuses you get at the end of a rat race, assuming you've been one of the bigger rats.
Although I don't know what my duties are.
Well, you come to the apartment every day at 9, and you're going to put in a full day's work. That is, unless you'd rather go get yourself another job.
Oh, no. No, Mr. Fowler, I'll never leave you. I'll stay as long as you want me.
Now, Miss Hastings, all our lives, we've been looking out for number one. You follow this?
Yes, sir.
And so, despite all the other theories, that is the basic reason the world has gone to hell. Do you agree?
If you say so, Mr. Fowler.
Yes, people have to start looking beyond themselves. We just have to do things that will turn the world around.
Yes, Mr. Fowler.
Now, this is something that has to begin at the top. Once the leaders understand what their true mission has to be, we can save ourselves. Now, I've drawn up a list of important people. After all, I was somebody myself.
There's no doubt about that, Mr. Fowler.
I have worked with people in government, in the military, in industry, and not just here, but also abroad. And I'm going to put it to these people. Now, here's the list, and I want you to put through some calls for me.
I have Admiral Chadwick on the phone, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, thank you, Miss Hastings. Hello, George. You got my letter? Hmm? What do you mean, what's the punchline? Oh, no. No. I'm serious. We all have to unite against this new menace. We have to change our self-centered thinking. George, you know I'm not crazy. Sure. Yes, we'll get together for lunch one day. Right. Bye. Well, at least he returned the call.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fowler.
Who else have you tried?
Oh, Mr. Cartwright of National Industries. He always seems to be in a meeting. Mr. Taylor's out of town. I just can't get anybody. I'll see who it is.
Oh, hello, Miss Hastings.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Davis.
What? Arthur? Sit down. Like a drink?
No.
Well, what is it, Arthur?
I like to think that we're still friends.
If you like to think so, by all means.
But what you're doing is, well, to a person who knows you, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, and what am I doing?
You're making a damn fool of yourself. The way you write letters to people and the way you call them on the phone and try to waylay them in the offices. Bert, you look ridiculous.
Do I?
Bert, it's tragic to see you ending up like this, an eccentric, a crack brain, a nut, and besides, a...
Yes?
Well, there's the company.
Oh, but I've retired. I'm no longer with the company.
Your name will always be associated with the company. And so what you're doing is a reflection.
What do you suggest I do?
Oh, enjoy life. You're still comparatively young. You have plenty of money.
Arthur, friend to friend, if you were me, how would you go about it?
Go about what?
Go about getting people to listen.
Nobody wants to listen to what you have to say, Bert.
I know, but how can I dramatize my message?
You just answered your own question. Dramatize. Call attention to yourself somehow. Make people listen. Do something.
Yes?
Oh, I don't know. But something that would just explode all over the front pages.
Yes. Thank you, Arthur.
But I want you to know we're still friends.
Oh, it's heartwarming to hear that, Arthur.
I wish you'd forget about those voices.
But how can I forget? I hear them so clearly. Now listen, put the earphones on.
I tried, but I just can't hear.
Or you don't want to. Miss Hastings. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm typing your letter to the President of the United States and a copy for the Premier of the Soviet and the Prime Minister of China.
Well, just hold off on that for a little while.
Oh, yes, sir.
Miss Hastings, you don't think that I'm crazy, do you?
Oh, no, sir.
Well, take the rest of the day off. I'm thinking of trying a different strategy.
Yes, sir.
Arthur was right. He said I should try something that would explode all over the front pages.
Now, what do you mean, Mr. Fowler?
I simply have to make people take me seriously.
Who's that? Bert, it's you.
Yes, Ron. It's me.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I got lonesome for the place. I thought I'd come by for a little visit.
At 10 o'clock at night?
Well, you're still here, Ron.
Wait. What have you got in that valise?
What do you think I've got?
I'm going to call a security guard.
I just saw him. He's asleep. But he's outside. He won't get hurt.
What have you got in that valise?
Fuses. Wiring. Or explosives.
But you're crazy.
Nobody wants to listen.
I'll have you thrown into jail.
Get out of here. I don't want anybody hurt, not even you. This place will go up in 30 seconds.
Well, you're a maniac.
Run for your life.
You...
Run! You...
Why are you standing there?
Because it's my company. I'll stay with it.
You're out of your mind.
Better run for your life.
Oh, how is he this morning, Miss Hastings?
Oh, he seems to be fine, Doctor.
Hmm. And where's the crystal set?
Oh, he hasn't asked for it since the, I don't think he even remembers it.
Oh. Oh, hello, Mr. Fowler.
Hello? Oh, yes. Hello, Doctor.
Yeah. Are you treating you okay?
Oh, just fine.
Good. Between you and me, Bert, is that what it was all about? I mean, you were so completely upset at not being made president that you just blew up the company for revenge?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you're lucky to be alive. How you survived that explosion just defies all explanation.
Oh, she can explain it.
Miss Hastings?
Oh, that's not her name. No, her name is Aletha. Aletha. And she loves me.
Oh.
You love me, don't you, Aletha?
Yes, I love you.
Because she loves me. That's the reason the world is still ours. She doesn't want me to be destroyed with everyone else.
Oh. Well, all right.
Do you understand, Doctor?
Hmm?
I tried. Yes, but no one wanted to listen. And the world will only last as long as I live.
And afterwards?
Aziza and Aletha will take it for their own people. Isn't that so, Aletha?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Fowler. That's so.
Well, I guess it's up to me to keep you alive for a long, long time, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Doctor. I want to stay with her as long as I can, because I love her. I always loved her.
Let's hope he stays with her for a long, long time. Because if her name is Aletha, we are all only safe as long as Bert Fowler lives. Well, you must admit the end of the world could happen any time for any number of reasons. Just add Bert Fowler to the list. At any rate, I'm reasonably sure the world won't end before I come back in just a few moments.
In Popular Library's best-selling novel, 34 East, a ceasefire line is drawn in the Sinai. On one side, Egyptian and Soviet troops. On the other, Israel and its American allies. Then, Arab fanatics kidnap the President of the United States, forcing the great powers to start the countdown for nuclear war. The suspense reaches a shattering climax in 34 East, the international bestseller, now in paperback. 34 East. Read it today while it's still fiction.
Last year, this kid came close to being just a name on a tombstone.
Help!
What saved him was Ellen Costigan. She knew what to do. Because we taught her. Life-saving. That's the whole business of the American Red Cross. Sometimes we do big life-saving jobs like sheltering 500,000 people. Sometimes they're little, like helping an old lady get to the supermarket. Life. It's worth saving.
What a shot!
Give us a hand.
All right.
The incredibly complex and sophisticated electronic communications of today sprang from simple pieces of wire and crystal. The fantastically complicated jet airplane originated in some pieces of wood, cloth, and bicycle wheels. Our age of technology has come into being within the memory of people who are still alive today. It is so new, so strange, that we hardly believe it or understand it. Are we using it properly? What were we supposed to do with it? Our cast included Norman Rose, Mary Jane Higby, Earl Hammond, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale. Marvin Hale Prentice, MHP. In the poetry, all of Creston's writings, the first line always starts with a word that begins with an M. The second line starts with a word that begins with an H. And the third with a P.
But that could be a...
That could be what? Coincidence? Remember what I just quoted over the TV show. The first line begins, millions reach out. There's your M. Second line, here we are prisoners. And the third line, poetry. Only in poetry is, there's the P. And the final three-word sentence, must hope perish. MHP, Marvin Hale Prentice. Now, do you know why I feel V.K. Creston's reaching out to me? One man's thoughts reaching out across thousands of miles and touching my own? That's why I'm fighting this trade bill. It's for V.K. Creston. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Summer's coming.
Have a good year, America. Get on Goodyear now and save.
Get summer off to a great start with 20% savings on Goodyear Polyglass Radial tires.
Get on Goodyear now and save.
Goodyear Polyglass Radials are built to last up to 30,000 miles. And now through Saturday, you get 20% off the regular price at participating dealers and Goodyear service stores.
Have a good year, America. Get on Goodyear now and save. Have a good year.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cord. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
Fine message there at the end.
Oh, nice.
Take care of them animals, darn you. Gar had to leave us as he prepares for Horrible Horrors.
Horrible Horrors.
The Ghoul. Right after our live show ends at 8 o'clock, which is some time away yet.
Yep, time for extra fun stuff.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Or I've seen I'm not sure whether you can make one.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I missed that.
I was saying I've seen instructional videos online where you can make one. But
okay.
I've never kowtowed to doing it myself.
I noticed there's a couple comments in on this particular program. I'm not sure if anybody caught that during the broadcast, where E.G. Marshall says, "I hope the world doesn't end before I," and then he stops speaking. Everybody thought that was cool thing, whether it was an accident or on purpose. But they thought that was pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Good timing.
Hey,
good timing.
We got some time for some bonus entertainment here. Let's say one of us saunter or sashay or whatever over to the wheel, give it a spin, and see what happens.
I have my comfortable shoes on. I'll be more than happy to oblige if I may.
Yeah, you may. You may, you may.
And here we go. Across the room, down the hall, to the left, up the stairs, up the rope, around the corner, and here we go.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Here he is, the star of Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid and 54 other great pictures, William Powell.
Thank you, Dottie.
Thank you, Bill, for being here to appear with us in Doris and Frank Hursley's original sketch, Love, Pat. Carlton Cadell, while Bill and I take our places on the stage, will you set the scene?
Right, Dottie. Everybody always said Anne shouldn't have married anybody as temperamental as Jeff in the first place. They were two of a kind. So when after a year of turbulent marriage, Jeff walked out to the sound of crashing glass could be heard these apartments away, nobody was very surprised. And Anne took up with Henry, her old beau, at approximately the point where she had left off when Jeff first came into the picture. But even now, after 3 months, every time the telephone rings, Anne gets a little panicky. Suppose it's Jeff.
Oh, I won't answer it. I'll just let him suffer. Go on, suffer. Of course, I might just lift the receiver off so he can't get his nickel back. Might be nice to hear him suffer. Hello? Oh, it's you, Henry, dear. Yes, the orchids came. They're lovely. They're in the deep freeze. What? I'm supposed to wear them, not eat them. Darling, you're so witty. Of course I'll wear them with my new dress. Somebody's at the door, probably the newsboy, dear. Well, hurry right over. I'm already dressed. Yes. Yes. Yes, of course I love you. Goodbye, Henry. I've got to answer the door. Just a minute. I'm coming. Hold your horses.
Good evening.
Jeff.
What have you got your fingers crossed for? Been fibbing again?
What are you doing here?
Well, you wanted to see me, didn't you?
I wanted to see you.
Isn't that why you called me?
Call you? I call you?
Well, it must have been you. The hotel clerk said that a lady with a good-looking voice called and left a message. And then she hung up without ever mentioning her name.
What message did she leave?
Hmm? Oh, I'm dying to see you. Maybe you won't believe it, Annie, but you were the first person I thought of.
I'm not dying to see you, and I never want to see you again.
I thought you needed me.
What would I need you for?
Well, that's something we'd better talk over. Maybe I better come in. One of the neighbors down the hall has his ear hanging out the door again.
Jeff, why did you come?
Well, see, Annie, where did you get it?
What?
That thing you're wearing.
Never mind. It's none of your business.
That proves it. Annie, you need me. You shouldn't have done it.
I'm not wearing it for you.
Thanks, dear.
Look, Jeff, I don't have time to talk to you. I'm going out to dinner with Henry.
Henry? Henry? Oh, not Henry Worcester.
Will you get out of here?
How's Henry's stamp collection coming along?
Henry is wonderful to me.
Well, isn't that fine?
I think I may marry him.
Congratulations.
He's kind.
Mm.
Gentle.
Mm.
Reliable.
House broke?
Will you please get out? He'll be here any second.
Come on, Annie. Tell me all about him. Here, sit down beside me on the davenport.
I wouldn't sit down beside... Jeff, stop it!
Huh? Oh, excuse me, dear. Just force of habit. I keep forgetting.
Well, I don't. And Henry is coming.
Annie, take my advice. If you really want to get places with Henry, take off that dress.
Jeff!
And put on that that green job. Oh, oh. You remember the first time you wore that? I'm just telling you for your own sake. It doesn't mean a thing to me. I wouldn't dream of dressing up for Henry Wooster.
There. That's Henry. Go on. Go out the back way, quick. I don't want him to find you here.
Well, now, look, I'm still your husband. That's what the law says. What's wrong with...
Get out of here.
Listen, you wouldn't want me to leave my own house by the fire escape, would you? Of course, I might consider sitting out the storm in the kitchen, but...
Why, you... I could... All right, I'll show him. Come in, Henry. Henry, I'm so glad.
Oh, gosh, Anne, are you really?
Oh, darling, you don't know how I've been waiting for you.
Oh, Anne, you mean it?
Kiss me, Henry.
What's that?
The coffee pot.
Who's that? There's somebody in your kitchen.
Don't let it bother you. It's just an escaped lunatic.
Well, well, well. Isn't this pleasant?
Jeff!
Huh?
At least you didn't have to take off your coat.
I guess I don't understand. I mean...
Oh,
I,
it's just one of Jeff's cute little tricks.
Ah, she just can't forget.
Come on, Henry. Let's get out of here.
Sit down, sit down. What's your hurry? Can't I get you a drink?
Henry doesn't drink.
Cigarette?
Henry doesn't smoke.
No, thank you. Nothing.
Really? Well, then what am I worrying about?
Henry! Henry, will you please come?
Well, yes, sure.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll be perfectly comfortable. I used to live here.
Jeff!
Huh?
What are you doing?
Well, just taking off my shoes. Oh, you remember about my arches, don't you, Annie? Oh. Henry, ever try counting your toes after a hard day at the office?
Well, no, I must say I never have.
There's nothing like it for relaxation. Yes, sir, the first thing I used to do...
You beast!
Awfully excitable girl, Henry. Sure you wouldn't go for a breather?
No, thanks.
Come on, Henry.
Don't forget to take a key, Annie. I climbed through more transoms on account of that girl. Well, I remember one time...
Why, you...
The sugar bowl.
The creamer went last time.
You're a heel.
You're a poor shot. And with all the practice you've had... Say, take a tip from me, Henry. Don't duck. You're safer staying where she aims.
I'm sorry, Henry. Believe me, I wouldn't have let you in for anything like this.
We're both sorry, Henry. And don't think too badly of Anne. She has her good days. And she's very, very sweet when she repents.
Now, look here. I knew Anne before you did.
Henry, don't talk to him. Don't you see he's just trying to ruin everything? Do something to him.
Do something?
Well, don't just stand there like a ninny.
Don't take that, Henry. When she talks to you like that, the thing to do is spank her.
Spank her?
Of course.
But spank her?
Sure. Here, I'll show you.
Jeff, don't you touch me. Take your hands off me.
No, stop it, Jeff. I won't stand for it.
Why, Henry, I'm doing this for you. One.
Stop, Jeff, you brute.
This hurts me worse than it does you, dear. Two.
Henry, do something.
What can I do?
Call Henry a ninny, will you? Three. Here, you take a hand, Henry.
What? I can't stand it. It's impossible. Impossible. Impossible.
He's gone. Walked out on you, honey.
Oh, Jeff, I didn't know you cared so much.
You didn't?
Ouch! What was that for?
That? Well, just a love pat, my sweet. Remember?
William Powell, Dorothy L'Amour.
Absolutely.
Wow. Sounds more like an MMA match.
Yeah. Getting a little kinky there.
Well, something like that.
Yes.
So, what's going on next weekend here on Erie House, Dale?
Nothing. We're closing shop.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, the excitement, the Halloween excitement is starting already. We're going to be having something about the weather.
We're going to be doing something about the weather.
We are going to do something about the weather.
Some people just talk about the weather. Yep.
From Sears Radio Theater and CBS Radio Mystery Theater tomorrow, cloudy and cold.
That's right. So we're not just talking about the weather. We're doing something about the weather on those programs.
Yeah. And then that's what, 8:30 Friday night, the following day, which would be, Saturday the 23rd, special guest Bradley Beard, a very good artist. We met each other, I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago, and he started showing his talent. Boy, he could make these awesome caricatures of all these horror hosts, and you may have seen them in our slideshow for Eerie House Radio. Sometimes Dave and myself and Gar have all had the honor of being captured by Mr. Beard. He's done many of the classic television horror hosts, as well as the online and cable guys. Then he went on to do the Universal Monsters and a lot of the sci-fi monsters of the 50s. And his artwork is just, it's very catchy to me. I just thought it was like, this is almost like pop art. This is so cool. And
extremely prolific.
Absolutely. I checked out his website, and he has some wonderful things. Star Wars, The Mandalorian's on there. It's wonderful.
He just keeps going and going and going, and kind enough to come visit us. So we'll also have a special radio program for him about artists. Right,
yep.
Dave?
Yep. Yes, we do. Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Yes.
About an artist, yes.
Death is an artist. That'll be Saturday the 23rd. Then we'll give you a break for a couple of days.
Just a couple of days.
You get to stay away from us, you know, catch your breath and get ready, because it's 5 nights in a row of Eerie House Radio, old time radio, whatever. A monstrous night. We start that off on, that would be the Tuesday, right? Tuesday the 26th. We got some Mysterious Traveler, Strange Adventure, Lights Out. Then on Wednesday, it's Scream Night. That's right, Inner Sanctum, Inner Midnight Cab, and Bradbury 13. Thursday, Eerie Houses. That'll be the 28th. Black Mass, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Mole Mystery Theater. Then we got Great Apes on Friday with Murder at Midnight, and get this, and it's not from 1938, as many had once thought, a radio adaptation of King Kong.
Wow. I did not know they did that. I had no idea they did an adaptation via radio. That I want to hear, most definitely.
You're more than welcome to join us as a host or a listener or however you like. You're just family. You're part of the toothless family here. There, yeah, sorry. And then finally the 30th.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Our Gores. Saturday the 30th, our annual tribute to War of the Worlds, and Dave's outdone himself once again with a new version we haven't portrayed yet. So we've done many. This will be our fifth time to do War of the Worlds. And this is from a Buffalo radio station, WKBW.
Yep, the big KB.
Might be from California. Dude.
No, it's interesting because, you know, there'll be a lot of music and stuff from the 72 times, because basically what they did with Orson Welles is they broke in with, on like orchestral music and things like that that were airing at the time. Well, we had disc jockeys on at the time, and they were interrupting disc jockey programs. So they kind of modernized it and set it in Buffalo, New York, and talked about some of the surrounding areas of Buffalo and the Tonawandas and Grand Island and things like that. So
we want you to join us for our annual tribute to War of the Worlds. That's our Halloween weekend. We will see you Friday at 8:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
They didn't get the poof at the end, but
mine showed that the poof was still in there. So we'll have to go back in the archives and hear what happened. It just, as soon as the poof went, the light went out.
Ah, but the archive won't tell you. It'll just be continuous, see? It just keeps recording.
Oh, well. I stand by my observation.
Okay.
Or, actually, I'm sitting by it. I'm not going to stand up for it.
Only the listeners know for sure.
Well, I'm unfortunately not going to be able to do much chatting with you tonight because I really have to finish up some of the ever-dreaded homework.
Arg. Arg. You might need a ginger ale for that.
I think I would need a couple of those, yeah. And a couple of
settle your stomach.
Yeah.
But as always, thank you for joining us and adding your
absolutely
wonderfulness and strict disciplinarianism to
Yes. I have to tell you, we're on our better behavior when you're on the show, usually, CW. So, you know.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm going to have to crack that whip.
Yeah. Oh, we like it when you crack the whip.
Ooh,
we
yes
like that.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Hurt
yeah me. Here we go again. Where's
hurt
the water bottle? Here's the
make me write bad checks.
Water bottle. Bad days. Bad days.
Oh, sorry about that.
There is no such thing as a bad Dave.
Yeah, just some that aren't as good as others, that's all.
If you drank Dr. Jekyll's liquid, there'd be two nice guys, that's all.
Oh, my. That would be an interesting kind of movie. Oh, no, please, after you. No, after you. No, I insist, after you. Oh, no, please. You first. No, I couldn't pause. Oh, you leave. Yeah. Yeah, that would get
the challenge. Yeah, that would be the
story
of Dr. That would be the story of Dr. Dave and Dr. Dave, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And I could see the town folk with torches and pitchforks. Stop it. Okay, I'll stop it. But I'll stop it now. No, stop it now. I will stop it. They're angry at me. I know I will do it. I will stop it. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Gar, you've been replaced. No, I'm kidding. Just a joke. No one can replace Gar.
But alas, in Alaska, I must be away. So if I may, I've just ushered in the one and only, the Schnozola himself, to say the farewell.
Might as well.
And thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. Night, everyone.
Good night. What more is this safe but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Wonder what the sound bar
is. Sorry, what we think, and it's a
good-dink-a-doo.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Yeah, I wonder what the stinger will be.
Yes, it was all about dreams.